Chapter 3. Spouses are made, not born. They fuck you up, your mum and dad. At the end of the second day of the weekend-long group, the poet Philip Larkin's immortal words will play in my head like a dirge. Larkin's point is the universality and banality of the parental stain. They may not mean to, but they do. They fill you with faults they had, and add some extra just for you. But even accounting for that, a substantial swath of the group seem to have suffered more than is usual at their parents' hands. The group will learn that when Rachel's parents decided her first husband-to-be was wrong for her, they drove 3 hours to Melbourne, where she was living and working, showed up on her doorstep at 11 p.m., and insisted she return to the family farm with them. "My job, I can't," Rachel, then 21, pleaded. She went. It did not occur to her not to obey, she will say. Her parents said not a word the entire ride home, and the next morning awoke her, only to begin berating her fiancé as a pompous and untrustworthy roué. He was, in fact, the wonkish son of a judge, as intelligent as he was socially awkward. A few days later, Rachel's mother persuaded that her daughter should return to work, accompanied her back to the city, and announced that she was moving in. After several weeks of having her mother shadow her every move, Rachel still refused to cancel her engagement. At that, her father announced that the family would have nothing further to do with her. Rachel's wedding was 5 months later. Neither her parents nor her two brothers attended. We'll learn that Sue Ellen gets so agitated when she imagines her childhood home, teeming with siblings and presided over by parents who wouldn't speak to each other for months at a time, that she gets sick to her stomach. So nauseous that she'll barely be able to speak. "When I first started working with Sue Ellen, I thought maybe she wasn't very bright. She was so halting in describing what was going on," Cochet will say. The group will learn that Lee's beloved mother died when she was 13, leaving her to care for her reclusive and critical father and her anxiety-ridden younger brother, and so on. I'll decide to move my chair closer to the group this day.